Chapter 7. Home to Mum and Dad. The next morning, I feel horrible. I need to forget about yesterday evening, but I still owe thousands of pounds, and I have a meeting with Derek Smith tomorrow. What am I going to do? I go for a walk, but it doesn't help. Then I see that I'm outside a department store. Buying something might help, just something small, like a t-shirt. So I go inside and look at the t-shirts. I don't really like them, but I choose one anyway. Then I look at the jackets. I know that I shouldn't. "Don't do it," says a voice in my head. "You owe thousands of pounds." "But it doesn't even matter. It's too late," another voice says. I go round the shop, getting more things: jeans, tops, a skirt, sunglasses, face cream. "That's £370.56," the assistant on the till says. I give her my Visa card. There are a lot of people waiting behind me. "Sorry, there's a problem with your card," the assistant tells me. "What?" I say. Then I remember all the letters in my room. I haven't opened any of them for weeks. Her Visa stopped my card. "They can't do that. I need it." "Have you got another card? If not..." the assistant starts. She looks at the enormous pile of things. I look at it too, and feel ill. I don't need any of it. And I can't pay for any of it. I walk away. Everyone is staring at me and whispering. I have to get out of here. But where can I go? I don't want to go back to the flat. There's only one place to go. Home to Mum and Dad. When I get to my parents' house, they don't even act like they're surprised. Mum just makes me a cup of tea. Then Dad says,
"Are you in trouble, Becky?"
"Oh no," I say, with a little laugh. "I've just got a few problems, but everything will be fine." They both look worried, and I feel terrible. But I can't tell them the truth. We have dinner and watch TV together. Then I go up to my old bedroom and get into bed. I'll phone Philip in the morning because I don't want to lose my job. I'll tell him that I'm ill. When I wake up, I feel happier. At 9:30, I think about the meeting with Derek Smith. But I'm not even going to phone him. Dad's in the kitchen, reading the newspaper.
"Interesting news," he says. "Scottish Prime have bought Flagstaff Life. Everyone with an old Flagstaff Life account will get a bonus. It might be a lot of money."
I remember someone talking about Flagstaff Life. But who? "Martin and Janice," I shout. "They've got a Flagstaff Life account."
"Lucky them," says Dad. "They should do well."
After lunch, I go outside and I see Martin in his garden. I don't want him to ask me any questions, so I say quickly, "It's good news about Flagstaff Life."
"Well, it's good news for some people, but not for us. We moved our money to a new account 2 weeks ago, so we don't get the bonus," he says.
I can't believe it.
"Other people are getting £20,000,
But what can we do? We can't change anything, says Martin.
I'm sorry. I feel terrible, I tell him.
We chose to move the money, Becky dear, says Martin kindly.
I go back inside. Everything has gone wrong. I can't look after my own money. I can't do my job. I've been horrible to my best friend's cousin. I haven't told my parents the truth. And I've lost my neighbours £20,000. Why did I never listen to things at work? Then I could really help people like Martin and Janice. Maybe lots of people like them moved their money. Suddenly, I wake up. The bank gave Martin and Janice the idea to move their money. Why? Because it saved the bank a lot of money. They only had to give people a free clock, not a big bonus. For the first time in my life, I'm interested in a story about money. I hurry next door and ask Martin for the letter from Flagstaff Life. I might be able to do something, I tell him. I still have the business card of that Daily World journalist. I get it out and ring Eric Foreman's number. I might have a story, I tell him. Eric Foreman is very interested.
Make it sad. Tell our readers about two normal, nice people. They work hard all their lives and save their money, but the bank doesn't tell them the truth. I'll send a photographer to take their picture, he says. Can I have your story tomorrow?
At first, I think that he's being funny. At Successful Saving, we have a month to write an article. But he's serious. I've never worked this hard before. I speak to Martin and Janice and get as much information as I can. They're happy that I'm doing this for them, and I love doing it. Work has never been this exciting. Next, I have to speak to Flagstaff Life because I need to get their side of the story. But when I phone them, they tell me to speak to Brandon Communications. I can't believe it. I can't speak to Luke Brandon. Of course you can, says a voice in my head, while I wait for someone to answer the phone. But it's not Luke. It's Alicia, and she's not interested. She won't answer my questions. She's not even listening. I'll show her that I can be serious. I'll show Luke Brandon too.